The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
It's Jeremy. Kevin's here this week. Hey, man, what's going on?
Man, a whole lot of everything. This is, it's been busy for me, and, well, it's been busy for the WWE because they have not had any time to waste trying to set up this pay-per-view.
Wow, we're jumping right into things. All right. Care to elaborate? What are you getting at?
Well, last week they did not screw around. Like, they're like, hey, let's announce the main event right now. Like, it was the first segment last week of Raw was setting up the main match at the pay-per-view. And they were really setting up more matches. They set up the Rusev versus Swagger match for sure this past week. I would have to say they're setting up another Wyatt family versus Usos tag team match.
Yeah.
And also Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho. I'm
trying to think if there's anything else they kind of set up, too.
It might be pre-show fodder or just a breather match. Possibly a Funkadactyls match.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's probably one for sure. I think though they have to have a buffer match, and looking at all the matches that you just went over, that's got to be the one.
Yeah, because your main storyline was, and it does get us around to something I wanted to talk about more in general anyway. Was they had the women's storyline of Paige losing to AJ, but mm-hmm. then this week you have them playing nice together, and maybe I just got it in my head too much that I would like the idea of them being together.
But well, yes.
They didn't really set up an adversarial relationship, did they?
Well, I would think that their adversarial relationship would have been built the day after WrestleMania when Paige came out and beat her. And then last week when AJ came out and beat her for the title. I would have figured that was an adversarial relationship in the making.
Right. And Paige, like, I can see the patronizing announcing of the champion coming out.
Yeah.
That part I could have been, I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. She's going to turn on her during the match. But then she did all the dirty work for her, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing kind of confused me. I guess it's just to set up the fact that Paige is going to turn on her later. And that's just the first step.
Okay.
That's how I took it, because it doesn't. I know what you're gonna say is that whenever someone returns, they get cheered. But AJ was gone so long. I mean, and she was such a, you know, I almost said bitch, but that doesn't really. It's really not the truth. She was just very arrogant, and she beat everybody, so she wasn't wrong, and you know. The way she would consistently get booed and everything. So when she came back, it was like, okay. And Paige wasn't a heel. So AJ being cheered didn't work. And then she plays up to the crowd, wins the belt, and everyone's happy. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? With no real change of character. So.
Yeah, that's the crowd reaction. Well, and the crowd in general, like, I know that Lawler always calls Canada Bizarro Land, but I don't know. That was like one of the worst Canadian crowds I've ever seen or heard, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, it's because I guess all the Canadian crowds remind me of European crowds where the WWE basically just does one pass through there. So everyone goes bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you always expect, yeah.
So I guess they were still probably more vocal than some fans, but I guess I was expecting more. I don't understand why AJ's getting cheered, because she had the same character when she came back.
Mm-hmm.
And Paige, again, was the baby face, so it's just kind of like, huh?
Paige has been such a nothing character, though.
Yeah.
You know, they had those goofy... Like, she wins the title, and then she's been a fighting champion, if you want to go with that, but they've given her no talking time. And I don't know about you, but I've been setting up that second screen app for Raw, where they do the backstage interviews, like, before, like, sometime during the show, they'll talk. She was rarely on those. So you got to know nothing about this woman. So...
Right.
It was as if she wasn't not. I'm not want to say she wasn't given a fair shake because her push isn't done, but there was no character build there. So when AJ came out, I don't know, was it release or I'm sorry, not release, relief? Like, oh, here's someone we know, and it's just carried over now.
I think that's definitely part of the problem with Paige. But, and I go back to, and I think I might have mentioned it with Chris the one last show, but she was starting to get a response in Columbus for the SmackDown. But, I mean, for someone that they seemed so dependent on for a couple of months, they really didn't sink any time into her whatsoever. And, I mean, not that I ever, with any of the divas, expect some long commitment for mic time. But, you know, they only gave her one headset, and then Cameron was there with her.
Yep. Yeah.
So that pretty much nullified any chance of her talking a lot, at a minimum.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this real quick. I don't know if it was Messenger, whatever it was, but like her losing to Alicia Fox out of the blue in England, which of course, you know, that's usually what happens. I don't want to say inappropriate, ill-advised. Like, I guess I'll just go back.
You mentioned that, and I kind of, and my argument point was, well, they needed to build up the pay-per-view match, because there's a pay-per-view match, I think, a week or two later. But, the last thing that she really needed, since she was vying for respect, though, really, was to have a loss.
Yeah.
Even if that's the standard WWE thing to do.
Yeah, because I remember reading that the plan for Paige was she was going to wrestle every one of the divas that was there in competitive matches and have her come out victorious in all of them, build her up as a credible, suitable champion. So that's why they started small. Well, okay, that's actually a pretty good plan. And the end game was that AJ Lee was going to be back and, you know, she's going to take on AJ Lee again. And that was the plan. Well, it seems like that's happened, but it's been such a hit-and-miss sort of run for her that the AJ Lee coming back and beating her didn't really matter. It was like, okay, you were just a placeholder while the real person was gone. Unless they're going to play that up, you know? I don't know.
Right, and I think that's why I automatically jumped to them being something of a duo already. In that it... would give her way more personality to be AJ's lackey than anything else. And it would get her more TV time, more than likely, too.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing, especially for someone who needs it. You know, I can already see the... what word am I looking for? I can already see how they're going to play it off, where she's going to want to talk and all this stuff, and, you know, it's not going to work out. So that, and that'll inevitably be what caused it. So... It's I'm not crapping on this angle. It's just, I don't know. It just seems like it's been handled very awkwardly.
Oh, right.
You know, if Paige would have talked a little bit more, awesome. That would have been great. But, and I think it would have been more successful. And honestly, I think if the Divas division period would have been better. I mean.
Yeah. No. I mean, that really is something that should always be a factor. Like, it's maybe three wrestlers really of any significance.
Who are the three?
Paige, AJ, and well, and they've even gotten rid of Natalya, which is kind of hilarious.
I just saw her on Superstars. Is that the one? No, Main Events today, right?
Yeah, Main Events
yeah.
today.
I just saw her today, and I'm like, oh, that's right, Natalya exists. But then it also had Rosa Mendez and the red-haired chick, the Eva Marie. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is how this is working out, huh? It just, sure, whatever.
Yeah, no, they, I guess they're just going to have to be fine with their Total Divas money. Yeah.
Also, I was going to ask you, though, what since you mentioned Cameron earlier and now Total Divas, what about Naomi? I thought Paige and her had a pretty good match at the, what was the last pay-per-view, man? Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've liked Naomi as a wrestler. That timing for her orbital bone to be broken really couldn't have been worse.
No. No.
And then, for whatever reason, they really kind of fiddle-faddled with her the first month or two that she's been back. And now they're finally kind of putting her back into where she was.
Yeah. Well, okay, and this is kind of I guess we're working backwards somehow. I love how we do this. I was watching Total Divas. And they explained, you know, Naomi came back and they're like, well, here's what's going to happen. Everyone's going to get a shot. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What was the plan if Naomi was healthy?
Oh.
Like, were they still going to do this one gigantic match? You know, I was very confused watching the show because I know you have to take that show with a truckload of salt, because there's nothing genuine except John Cena and the guys, and probably Nikki Bella are the only genuine ones, as I just can't imagine her acting. I just honestly look at it as if that's just her. So
yeah, not smart enough to do that.
Yeah, but I don't know. If they allow the athleticism of the women to play out, and is this dead horse area? I mean, we haven't really brought it up in a long time.
Funny. It's a little dead horsey, but it's also true. It continues to be true that they have all this time, and they don't seem to set this kind of thing up.
Yeah. You see it. I guess this is where I get confused, and maybe this can go into another topic we didn't intend to talk about, but Triple H, or in NXT, and I understand that this is a developmental program. You can't call it a league, because that's not what it is. It's the developmental system, all right? But they've put them on TV, so they're forced to give them characters and give storylines and all that sort of stuff. But really, NXT is dependent on in-ring action. Yes, they have their, like, side...
Oh.
You know, they have their little thing, like, Tyler Breeze's music video, which, have you seen that yet?
No.
You need to do yourself a favor and watch that. It is really, okay. really funny. But they've given these guys this in-ring work, and they've built up these matches, but then they get called up to Raw and SmackDown, and it's all talking. But they don't give them the opportunity to talk. So you've just trained all of these people in the ring to work a WWE style. And, you know, there's nothing for them to do.
Oh.
I'm confused on what developmental is supposed to do. Like, what's the purpose besides putting programming on WWE TV? I'm sorry, the WWE Network. If it's going to be totally different when they get up to, the big time. And I guess I don't see how Triple H's vision of what he's doing in NXT is meshing with what's going on in the WWE under, Vince and Stephanie and Triple H. Where Vince, inevitably has the final say-so.
Right.
And the reason I even brought that up was the divas are given 5 minutes to wrestle, 15, 20 minutes total a month, where that's the length of one match in NXT, which is where, like, Paige, Emma, Ric Flair's daughter right now, Charlotte, is doing it.
Right.
So... they were given personality, but they were in-ring workers. Now they're supposed to have personality, and the worker part has been diminished a lot.
Yeah, no, I guess I didn't really think about that all that much because I've only spot-watched NXT. But yeah, like the three NXTs that I've watched, it's... mostly been the in-ring work, and I guess I just honestly hadn't thought about that problem.
Yeah, I just get confused by it.
And they always talk about how they have all the stuff to practice backstage, skits, they have the cameras down there and the whole nine yards. Like, they have everything they need to produce a WWE show down there.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can practice on it. It's just like, well, then, yeah, they should be practicing on it. Everything, like every aspect.
Well, yes, and I'm trying to make sure. They are practicing all the aspects, but they're practicing 20% on promos and 80% in-ring. Where if you look at it, when you get to, SmackDown Raw, it's 80% promo, 20% in-ring, for the most part. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I'm just confused what they're trying to accomplish for the most part. And
right.
And I think it does the young people a disservice because you tell Vince, you tell creative, hey, these guys are ready to come up. Okay. Well, the Wyatts had a finely tuned gimmick. They were both... as JR would put it, sizzle and substance. Sizzle on the steak, whatever. Others aren't. Like, Adam Rose, kind of a gimmick. Fun. I don't mind it, but he shouldn't be a face. He should be an annoying-ass heel.
He seems to be more... he seems to be the opposite. He seems to be one of the only guys that's all gimmick and... no in-ring.
Yeah, I guess the gimmick kind of goes against the in-ring stuff. Like, I don't get why... I don't know why he's fighting. He's supposed to be this partier. He's just happening. It was like, Be a rosebud. Okay, cool. Well, then, why are you fighting? I don't know. I guess they tried to explain it, but it's just like, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they try to say he's tough for some such shenanigans.
That's fine, whatever, you know. But yeah, whatever. I don't know. Just kind of got off on...
Well, there's nothing wrong with going on a tangent. That's why I just kept on going, because it's fun to follow a tangent. Yeah, no, they should align or put that in tune a little bit better, I would say, between the two leagues.
Yeah. Well, to me, they just need to figure out what they want, because then you hear rambling from a site that probably has no sources, and then supposed rumbling from backstage that, you know, Vince McMahon's not sure about Adam Rose, or he's not sure about Bo Dallas. Well, then you need to look at your son-in-law and go, why are you saying this guy's ready? Like, what are you doing down there? We've gotten lucky with guys who were, for the most part, somewhere else. I mean, look at the Shield. Ambrose was all over the indies. Seth Rollins, you know, Tyler Black. Excuse me.
Well, Roman Reigns would be there.
Yeah, Roman Reigns, whatever. Bray Wyatt, same thing. He's a whatever. He was there. Luke Harper, we both know his history. And then Eric Rowan was just kind of thrown in, and he's there. Cesaro, another guy. He was ROH.
We need to get around to him too.
Well, that's kind of why I brought him up. So I was supposed to use him last, but I messed up. But no, Triple H sooner or later has to start getting called out if these gimmicks start failing. Like Rusev, I think, is finally starting to get traction, and I know people don't seem to be as high on Big E as everyone should be. I think he needs to find a promo style and stick to it. And the preacher guy is not it. But he and Rusev had good 4-minute matches. Two bruisers just beating each other up and then doing ridiculous bumps to the outside of the ring. What more do you want?
I would hope that the problem with Big E is not the in-ring work. I mean, I'm not going to like him as much as some of the other guys, but I don't really have any problems with him either.
No. He's got a... I think...
Yeah.
I think people have I think the people in power in WWE have a long memory. Do you remember... I think it was 2 years ago when he was with Dolph. He was doing announcer voice that one time.
Oh.
And it was just douche chill. I mean, just incredible how bad it was.
Right,
I think that's kind of stuck with him ever since. Right or wrong, and maybe I'm grasping at nothing there. But...
Well, he hasn't seemed to be able to find a home on his own. And, you know, you always wonder what exactly, you know, how it doesn't get addressed, I guess, or why it doesn't get solved. Like,
yeah.
To me, it always seems like it's one of those things that even if you don't become the greatest promo guy ever, you know, at least become sufficient enough that you can be left alone.
Yeah.
And who was it that... well, I feel like Benoit got himself to that point.
Who?
The man who shall not be named.
That's better.
And I mean, I feel like I'm forgetting other examples that I should have in the memory banks. But... you know, you should at least be able to get to a passing grade. Like, Paul Heyman enhances Brock Lesnar, but if you just had Brock Lesnar by himself, he could do it.
Yeah. I mean, Brock did it for a while, so.
Yeah, you're probably not going to give him 15 minutes or anything crazy but... you know, you'll give him 5 minutes and let him go. I don't get it with him. Like, yeah, you would think that they'd be able to find something that would be in his comfort zone. Especially, and that's the other thing that people always cite, and I don't have a problem with them citing it either, is that he's been he was pretty damn funny on Twitter and in the little videos that he was doing on his own. And
yes,
he hasn't brought any of that kind of goofy personality, but I don't know, maybe they want him to be more of a bruiser, and they think that that kind of personality is going to hurt his character.
That's actually what I was going to get on. Someone his size is not supposed to be goofy. As much as you can make the argument wrestling's gotten away from what makes wrestling interesting and profitable and compelling, that's always one standard. Like, look at the great Khali. He's a joke.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't help that he's immobile, can't talk, you know, on his own, none of that. But I'm trying to think of another example of a big guy that was a goof that they don't make money. You don't get pushed. Like, I don't think there's been a big guy in the history of wrestling that's been a goof that's gotten pushed very far. Like, not to the top, at least. And I'm sure I'm just forgetting him. But, and I think that's why, you know, Big E on Twitter, and that, cool. All right, it's funny to see a guy that big do that stuff, okay?
Right.
But in the context of a TV show, no. It doesn't work. And I think that goes back to announcer voice guy. You know, it kind of just takes you out of it. Like,
right.
If Mark Henry came out acting like that, you'd be like, what? I mean, Mark Henry, I mean, I guess that's a decent example. Look where he was. He was with the old lady. And it did, I mean, he didn't help his own cause, mind you.
Yeah, being as injury prone as he was, that did not help his own cause.
Right, right. But giving it, like, the gimmick of sexual chocolate and, you know, all that stuff with Mae Young and all that, he didn't go anywhere until all that dropped.
Right.
So.
But I don't know. Maybe it would help. It would help Big E to maybe get more comfortable on TV if he did that. If he at least got to be goofy, and maybe he could find a way to transform that character then to be more serious rather than trying to start him out as serious because he isn't as comfortable with it.
Possibly. But I mean, look at the goofy black guys they already have on the show, though. I mean, we're gonna make a faction of them. You're gonna put Xavier Woods, Big E, and R-Truth, and call it the Minstrel or something. I mean, the Minstrel of Darkness. I don't know if that's just overkill or not, but you know, when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Oh man, that would be hilarious if that was the name of a faction.
Could you imagine?
Minstrels of Darkness.
Could you imagine, like the outrage?
Oh, it'd be outstanding.
I don't know, man. I'd buy the T-shirt though, for sure.
Yeah, no, I would buy the T-shirt also.
Yeah. No.
But okay, yeah, no, I think that's about as good a explanation, honestly, as I've heard on why Big E has just not been able to pull it off.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, you know, again, it's just one of those things that maybe I didn't think of in those terms. It's just that maybe what his strong suit is isn't suitable for... you know, a power lifter who's supposed to be a badass.
I noticed last night he slimmed down a little bit, too. He's not as puffy as he was when he first got out there. So I'm hoping that, you know, being on the road with the veterans, he's getting that nutrition.
Yeah, no, it really would probably help his mobility if he backed off a little bit. But whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of a side point.
Yeah, well, I think that's good, though. I think, you know, you can carry around that muscle and be a muscular wrestler without being too bloated. So you've got that longevity. Muscle-bound guys get hurt a lot. So it's a good thing to slim down. That's what I was getting at, actually. So,
gotcha. Yeah,
anyways, sorry.
No, not a problem. I mean, it is that is true. So yeah, no. Well, you meant to bring him up last, but whatever. We went on way longer about Big E than we ever thought about too. Cesaro was the guy you brought up. And I'm not the only one scratching my head, right? Like, there are just some times where I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, okay, this – I don't quite understand how they have him win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, make a big honking deal out of it, have him come out – doing gangbusters, and then have him lose 2 weeks in a row to Kofi Kingston.
Thank you. I honestly thought you were just going to end it with, and he lost 2 weeks in a row. And I was like, that's acceptable if you're losing to Cena on that.
Oh, right.
All right.
Which he has done also, I think.
Yeah, right before he won the Battle Royal. Yeah, yeah.
No.
I have no idea what they're doing with this. The idea that they're using Cesaro to push Kofi Kingston is deplorable. You know how I feel about Kofi Kingston. He's not any better than he was 7 years ago when he started. I don't know what the insistence on pushing it is, but now after last night, at least it seems like they're going to try and go towards a Cesaro Big E match. For what reason, I have no idea why they had to go this route. But it's better than having nothing.
Yeah, well, and I completely forgot about Big E being in on that whole thing, too, last night. Oh, my gosh. That makes it even more mind-bending. Because it's just like, okay, Cesaro's gotten his ass kicked so much. We've got to kick him down a notch to Big E Langston. He's not even allowed in Kofi Kingston's league.
Oof. God, you put say it like that. All right. I'm having a hard time talking about this without sounding just like your typical like ranting internet fan. But it makes no sense. You gave Cesaro Paul Heyman. Now, getting him away from Zeb Coulter was a good idea. Giving him to Paul Heyman, you would have thought, would rocket him up the ladder. Instead, it hasn't done a thing for him other than give Paul Heyman an excuse to be on television talking about Brock Lesnar still. So was this the plan all along? And Cesaro, it just is who he is. And he's going to lose to people like Kofi Kingston and get his heat back by beating him up afterwards. Like, he's like the heel professional jobber.
Yeah, see, and then that was the other kind of funny thing about the whole situation, at least to me, is that last week, I go, oh, okay, they're having him change, you know, they want him to be more of a heel. He's with Heyman. He went for the Cesaro swing, but then threw it off. Said, ah, fuck off, I'm not doing it. But then he loses and he snaps, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Dude is now going to kind of be a badass, and everyone's gonna boo him. Mm-hmm. So I just figure, oh, okay, easy win this week. And then he loses again, and I'm just like,
Yes, and he loses with a roll-up. When he wasn't hurt, it wasn't a long match. I know we've talked about this before. I despise roll-ups. Unless it's at the end of a... If it's the end of a 30-minute match, or if he got hit with something, just something like that, it's absolutely fine. But when you're and in no way in danger, and all of a sudden a guy just rolls you up like that, garbage. It's absolute garbage. You can't believe what you just saw, and not in a shocked way, but more in a disgusted way. Like, this is the cheapest way possible. Like, even going back, Daniel Bryan whipped out the small package.
Yeah.
Didn't really think about what I was saying there. But
at least in a small package, you can make some type of argument that you have the guy, you have all of his limbs tied up. With the roll-up that Kofi did, he's running in place, which means his feet are leaving the ground, which is a perfect time to kick out.
Mm-hmm.
And Cesaro is bigger and stronger than him, and I mean, they've made a point, even during that match, they made a point of Kofi Kingston jumping on Cesaro and Cesaro grabbing him, and actually that might have led to the whole pinning combination. And it's just like, hold on, this guy has the strength to catch him jumping in the air, but he can't prevent a roll-up.
Yeah.
How does this work? Like, you're telling two different stories, like, just within a couple of moves.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even the announcers said something like, how strong is this guy? And they've been pounding it into everyone's head about how strong he is, but then he loses.
On a roll-up, yeah.
2 weeks in a row.
To a guy that's 100, 150 pounds? I'm sure Kofi's probably like 200. But yeah, you're exactly right, man. I don't understand. Cesaro had everything going for him. Now, okay, but let's back up a little bit and look at it objectively. We always know that the WrestleMania crowds are different, okay? The Raw right. after crowds are different. Was that the thing? Were we so fooled by the reaction at WrestleMania and then the reaction at Raw that we were there in person for? You know, and it was easy to get caught up in that stuff. Were we caught up in that and Cesaro wasn't as over as he was made out to be? I don't mean this in, you know, a negative way, but your typical fan, you know, the broad audience, that's a better way of putting it. The broad audience, was he over with them the way he was with your internet crowd, your smart and the know people?
Well, and I think that's where you can't, that you have to point out the addition of Paul Heyman. Because the guy is supposed to be, you know, your mouthpiece. You know, like, he's supposed to be covering the bad part. Like, evidently you liked him as a wrestler. The guy had been wrestling big matches recently anyway. Because mm-hmm. wasn't he in the Elimination... Yeah, he was in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, took on John Cena. On Raw in one of the main events in a highly competitive match. Him and Sheamus went at it in a big bruiser match, too. You know.
Didn't he beat Orton at some point? Or am I thinking Daniel Bryan?
No, I think... He did beat Orton. It was going into Elimination Chamber. I believe that's what it was,
Because Orton was losing to, like, everybody and their brother.
Right.
Except, like, one person. And I'm trying to think of who that was.
Christian, he didn't lose to.
Oh, yeah, Christian.
Good old Christian. Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy had been racking up some wins without Heyman. And like you said, like, it made his gimmick better, so...
Well, no, all of what we just discussed was before Heyman, though.
Well, right. I guess that's kind of my point, is it seemed to be building up. Like, it wasn't like, you're saying, was it the plan all along to just have him die out? Or, like, it maybe it was because of the crowd. But the WWE had really started putting stock in the guy back in January.
True, yeah.
So, why does it end when you give him Paul Heyman? Like, if you want him to die a quick death, just have him break away from Zeb Coulter on his own and then die a quick death.
Yeah. Well, like, I think it's twofold. I mean, you get rid of the Zeb Coulter part and let Jack Swagger go on their own. Because they really didn't even have, like, a big blow-off to their what should have been a feud, you know?
No, they didn't, really. Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, Heyman's on TV. He gets to be the advocate. Even though, you know, Cesaro really needs to talk for himself. He kind of did that on Monday night, which was nice. But then spoke whatever Quebec
French.
People don't like. Well, no, didn't he say it was some other language?
Well, yeah, he was making fun of their form of French.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't care. I have a hard time speaking English most of the time, so I'm not about to try and figure out other shit.
I figure he was speaking as he was, you know, I'm assuming putting it proper French.
Gotcha. no, I just think part of it is with Heyman there, it gives Heyman a reason to be on TV, and it also gives Cesaro a slight rub being with Paul Heyman. But I don't know, is like these losses the last 2 weeks, are they really like, is this overreaction? Because the argument goes back to the beginning of what we were talking about, was if it was a substantial wrestler, fine. Losing to the Blackberry Horowitz isn't fine.
And that's where that's what the other part that you can't get around, honestly, in this equation. If he was losing to John Cena, you just go, okay, he lost to John Cena. Like, you don't worry about it. But when he's losing to Kofi Kingston, and it always seems like it's one of those tip of the iceberg things too, I guess, is that just recently I've just seen so many guys get into that losing streak gimmick.
Yeah. The worst.
And it only
gimmicks.
Starts out as some type of a fluke, and you don't quite understand why it started, but it just ends up happening. And, you know, maybe it's just more of a Pavlov's dog response to seeing someone job like that twice. Just like, oh, crap, here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very fair. But I think a big part, though, is that when Heyman and Cesaro got together, I think the perception was straight to the top. This guy's going to be mixing with Cena, Orton, you know, Triple H on a consistent basis now. And it's just simply not happening. I'd say Jack Swagger's in a better position than Cesaro is.
Yeah, no. And that's kind of the other, another interesting point that I wanted to get around to, too, honestly. Because they just had Rusev beat RVD on Raw.
Yes, yeah.
And they're positioning Jack Swagger is the is a real problem for Rusev. And I keep on wondering whether they're actually going to have Swagger win, because it would be a way to gain him relevance again. But it would also wreck everything that you've been trying to build with Rusev here the last couple of months.
Yes. I think...
And
go ahead,
it seems like a pretty harsh demise, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not as down on Swagger as a lot of people are. I agree with you that it does ruin what you've been building up. Because Swagger just hasn't been positioned, especially since, you know, he's just now starting his face run. But we've seen them ruin face runs by having people immediately lose. So, you know, it wouldn't be a shock, let's put it that way, to have Swagger right. lose this.
Yeah, no, I'm really, I have no idea where they're going to go with this one, which, you know, isn't a bad thing. Like, because, and I guess I didn't mean to sound down on Swagger, really, because it's, he's, I guess that guy's always, that whole thing's been another weird situation where, well, it's almost like Heyman and, Cesaro now, they like the manager so much they're getting him time at the expense of the wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we talked about that a long time ago, but and this was one of the, and I said it last week when this whole thing started, was this is one of those things that was perfect, and Swagger should have been the person to try and stop this thing already. You know, just because of the gimmick, you know, both gimmicks don't run together, even though they're both heels. And the We the People thing has been kind of over for a while.
Well, the We the People thing got aped by the audience who, you know, for all the dumb crap Zeb Coulter's talking, was getting recited back to him.
Right.
So it's still there. So now it works. You know, now it's okay to do it. You know, I think in Swagger's case, anybody who talks for him is an improvement over him talking. He's never gotten over the lisp thing, which I don't know if you can. I don't know. I guess speech therapy, I suppose. But for someone his size and who's supposed to be intimidating and then has that speech pattern, it ruins the aura of it. So having Zeb Coulter talk for him is fine. Where in Cesaro's case, he doesn't really need someone to talk for him.
Oh, right.
You know, but, you know, to each his own, whatever. So, oh, hey, this just in. I just saw this. Germany just scored again. Yes. Yes. All these hours later, Germany scored once again. They were just showing the German people still celebrating. It's like, good God, you didn't win yet. You did cause some riots in Brazil, so good for you. But Swagger beating Rusev, I don't think happens. I think honestly, the guy to beat Rusev, and people will hate it. It's going to be the weirdest like heel turn in history. Rusev's going to lose to John Cena. It probably won't, but it just seems like the logical thing. Mr. WWE, Mr., you know, Hoyle Hustle and Respect. What the fuck was that? Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect. I told you I have a hard time speaking English as well. You know, it just seems like he would be the guy to do it. But no. Rusev, I think, is finally starting to get over, because that kick is awesome, and that is one giant man to do that sort of thing. So
Yeah, I think that has been part of the problem with his squash matches. They've almost been too squashy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It was just funny to hear it described that way.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's just won so quickly that, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, he needed some type of opposition and some type of, you know, at least, even if it's not offense from the other guy, at least for the person to put up with more of a fight than, like, he'd kick them, then put them in the accolade, and that'd be the end of the match. And it's just like, okay, I guess he's impressive. You know, it was so short, it was unrealistic compared to every other match that I watch on Raw. Because even like RVD fighting a jobber in and of himself, he has more problem with the jobber than Rusev does. And I guess they don't sell me as that far, or it doesn't sell me as that far, or Rusev is that far above that type of a guy, even if he just beat him this past Monday.
Well, really, is anybody? All right, this seems like a farewell tour for RVD, a very unsuccessful farewell tour, of course. But it's. I don't know what it was last week where the crowd was chanting at him, "You still got it."
I think so.
Okay, his skill. There's no excitement about RVD anymore. It's hey, here's RVD. You know, it's
No, if you want to talk about the five moves of doom, I think that you should put that mantle squarely on RVD at this point.
Yeah, but. He hasn't been given. He comes back. He's given little to no time to talk. Again, his matches, whatever. It's almost as if he's being punished for leaving when he was in that feud with Alberto Del Rio, even though it was perfectly contractually fine with what he was doing. It's like, you know, your bad booking doesn't overcome my contract status. So tough. Which they never got back around to. And while I'm mentioning it, why is Del Rio getting pushed again? Or why is it being featured? I don't think push is the right word, but he's showing up all the time now. I thought his contract expired. It's like, why isn't he gone? Oh,
that's what somebody claimed a long time ago. And I honestly wish it would happen.
Yeah, there's nothing to him.
Yeah, there's nothing to him. There honestly isn't, obviously, as you pointed out, not much to RVD. You know, like, I don't know if I want him to have a lot of mic time, but even the in-ring stuff, I mean, I guess that it's just so predictable, all that in-ring stuff, that I don't care. It's just kind of formula at this point. Like, Cena changes things up more than RVD does, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah. But Cena, I mean, I don't know. I suppose Cena, I don't want to say is obligated to or has to, but Cena is way more exposed, overexposed if you want, than RVD is. And, okay, I'm really happy you said something about Cena, though. I'm enjoying the hell out of this serious Cena, like the I'm the champ again, oh well, like just suck a dick, I'm the champ, I don't care. And he had the serious talk with Seth Rollins, and I was talking to Shahid last night when it happened, and I'm like, why can't we get this Cena all the time? Because you know, next week, he's going to come out and start making jokes and everything else and just ruin, you know, the goodwill he just built up, you know? It just sucks.
That's always the interesting thing with his character is it just kind of comes and goes. Because even when he stinks more weeks than he's not, like, it seems like every feud that he goes through, he just kind of gets to that he has that promo in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it just has to happen. Or I shouldn't say that promo, but...
No, I don't
well,
know.
Yeah, maybe the serious promo is that promo. Maybe that's the better way to put it.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
You know, because usually it's like three dick joke promos or two dick joke promos... that promo, and then the fourth one is that dick joke promo. You know, where mm-hmm. it's half serious and half dick joke.
Yeah.
Because he loves those, too.
Yes. I do wonder as well, though, if this serious Cena is also just the precursor for the, oh, I need to be serious because here's Brock Lesnar. You know, because that's still the rumor. SummerSlam's going to be him and John Cena. So you got to start making Cena a much more serious character now, because, well, you've got the most serious man in WWE coming your way. And there's really no joking around with. I mean, what do you joke around with Brock? What the hell, man? With Brock Lesnar for? You know, how do you? I mean,
jokes about chicken shit and chicken salad. So
that's it. I mean, what's he gonna make fun of his tattoo? Okay. Next, that's it. You have nothing on Brock Lesnar other than. You beat him way back when, 2 years ago after WrestleMania at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. And then you know Paul Heyman is just going to be saying it over and over again. He's the 1-21-1. He beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. What do you think he's going to do to you? So right. you've got to get serious Cena going, because jokey Cena is not going to work. You know, he's going to take it out on Paul Heyman and call him Walrus and all that garbage.
Yeah.
But there's nothing he can say to Brock Lesnar in a joking manner that works. So.
Yeah, no, and that better be the plan. I mean, if you're wasting Paul Heyman on Cesaro, I would hope that the least that you could do is bring back Brock Lesnar for a big match and soon, or else Paul Heyman has just been wasting a whole lot of flight miles for no good reason.
Yeah, which I think we could have gotten into, but if we had a longer show, but we can't do this to people. So we'll have to come back and pick that back up, because – and I guess we can use it as a teaser, but the way WWE is the parent plan – or at least right now it looks like it, Roman Reigns is going to be the guy they're going to push like crazy. And last night was a nice step forward, but I just don't know if he's the right guy right now. But we've also got until, well, January if you want, for Royal Rumble to get there. So it's plenty of time, I suppose.
But they've got some time. We'll see what happens. Yeah. You know, it. And that one I will hold out, because he's not winning the Fatal 4-Way. So, I mean, there's at least another month that he's not going to have the title belt. And I don't think he'd have it before Seth Rollins cashes in. So,
no, which we can talk about that, too, because I got a theory on that. But
I mean, I wanted to bring up Ambrose. Rollins and Ambrose, actually. Definitely not.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. I'll just do the plug, stentgranny@gmail.com. You can find the shows on the site for right now until we get everything cleared away, which I'll let Kevin get into if he wants to. I don't know. Or we just save it. Which maybe we should just save it until we get everything ironed out, I guess.
Again, it's a little bit weird. I think people are seeing the new site right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, if people actually go to the site and look, they'll be like, this looks different. Oh, here's everything. But we'll save the big announcement for later.
So, that's the whole weird thing, right? Because I meant to ask our web guru about that, but I'll do that tomorrow and there we go. I'll just roll into plug. OPA number 11 being recorded tomorrow, because I will happen to be in his part of Columbus tomorrow, so I'm just going to head on over there and tape.
Cool.
So, that's my plug. DeFrango 11 and Gozer 33. OPA, number 11.
I'm Granny Maze. It's Stunt Granny on all social media. You know, the whole show is pretty good. We can't get through the end of, like, the plugs. This is kind of an odd one. So
this is a train wreck at the end. I really loved the show up until this point.
Yeah, so I'm just going to stop talking and let Kevin take us out.
Okie dokie, grandkids. You have a good night, and sorry for the rough land. Yeah.
Thank you.